Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There apparently has appeared on the horizon, or on the in this day and time, a new religion in Melbourne, Australia. It's called Happy Science. Have you ever heard of it before? No? Oh, good. It was founded in the 1980s, so it's not really on the horizon, but it's already come. It was started by a Japanese character named, I can't pronounce his name. It's something like Ruho Okawa. I'm going to stick with Okawa because his first name is R-Y-U-H-O. Anybody, you know? I actually watched a YouTube and him saying it, and I couldn't understand what he said. But what's interesting about Okawa is he says that he's able to receive spiritual help from Jesus, Gandhi, Moses, and Zeus. He wants Happy Science to make sure that every spiritual base is covered, and it recognizes the existence of many gods. Okawa claimed that he's able to channel 500 high spirits, people who have had an impact on humanity, world history. Guidance comes to him, he says, from Confucius, Socrates, William Shakespeare, Thomas Edison, Margaret Thatcher, and of all people, Walt Disney. Such claims are obviously rejected by cult watchers. But criticism has not stopped Happy Science from expanding and attracting huge donations. Okawa's message is growing in popularity, as is his mission to bring happiness and salvation to the earth. It claims to have 12 million followers around the world, just to show you the impact. According to the Australian newspaper, The Age, Okawa predicts that much of the United States will just simply sink by the beginning of the 24th century. I love it how these guys predict so far in advance, you know, so that by the time it happens, he's long gone. Or should I say, doesn't happen? This is a killer, and this one caught my attention. He also believed and has written that Martin Luther will be reincarnated as a Japanese school teacher and will help usher in the new religious movement. Look out, Japan, especially from one who preached Christ and Christ alone. Although we might laugh at a spiritual leader who claims to receive guidance from the type of, like, Walt Disney, all religions seem to a little offbeat at first, don't they? Even Christianity seemed a little odd and offbeat when it rose up in the Christian sect back in the first century. It seemed strange to the people of Judea, just as Happy Science does to us today. And no one did more to shock and surprise the people than the man named John the Baptist. John announced the arrival of Jesus by calling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. By this proclamation and ministry of baptism, he prepared the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah predicted he would, "I baptize you with water for repentance," he explains, "but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals." John prepared the people of Judea for the arrival of Jesus, the powerful Son of God who was able to take their faith in a whole new direction. Like Okawa of Happy Science, John the Baptist struck people as being a little bit strange. He wore clothing of camel's hair and leather. He munched down on locusts and wild honey. And he called for repentance. which most biblical Greek scholars today will tell you or define repentance as a turning around, not just turning in a little bit of one way or a different direction, but literally turning 180 degrees and going the opposite direction. It means to undergo a complete change of heart, mind, and direction. It means to turn away from madness, cruelty, shallowness, blindness that we have in this world toward doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God, as Micah reminded us. Unfortunately, not everyone wants to make this kind of a complete turnaround. Not everyone could handle John and his message. He was a strange and surprising kind of guy, and his message was radical, and it was intense. Many people were accustomed to making minor adjustments in their lives, but John was challenging them and us to a complete change of mind, heart, and direction. He wanted them to undergo a complete change as part of their preparation for Christ. "You brood of vipers," John screamed. He was yelling at the good Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees who came to him for baptism. "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he nailed them with bare fruit worthy of repentance. "Even now," he says, "the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down, and it's thrown into the fire." John didn't care that the Pharisees and Sadducees were active members of their local communities. He was not impressed by their claim to be descendants of Abraham. "Bear fruit worthy of repentance," he says. He insists. And in the words of the Bible translator J.B. Phillips, "Go and do something to show that your hearts are really changed." John, with a righteous indignation from God, was angry at the status quo. So he called for repentance, a complete change of mind, heart, and direction. He insisted that complete reorientation was required of anyone preparing for the arrival of Jesus. So specifically, what did this involve? In the Gospel according to Luke, John gives the following instructions. "Whoever has two coats must share with one who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. If you're a tax collector, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And if you're a soldier, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages." Repentance, according to angry John, is not simply a spiritual issue. It is not just asking God to forgive sins. Instead, it involves a change in behavior in a world scarred by poverty, hunger, theft, threats, and lies. Repentance is a turn toward the ways of Jesus and a change in the way you handle your possessions, your food, your job, your money. It is a reorientation of your life away from the interest of yourself and toward the interests of the kingdom of heaven. Repentance, you see, is a complete change of mind, heart, and direction. A change from what you want to to what Jesus Christ wants. John's call to repentance is not simply a historical oddity. It is not the ancient ranting of a strange man who called people to join this weird cult like Happy Science. This call to repent is a word to us today, and it is a message that is true. True, because Christ has come just as John predicted. Within his lifetime, I might add. Christ truly has come into the world to judge and to save. Jesus is not a fictional character like Zeus, channeled by Okawa. Jesus is the flesh and blood Son of God who calls us to change so that we're prepared for the coming kingdom. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of trees. John warns, speaking as much to us as the people of Judea. Every tree, every one of us, that does not bear good fruit is to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Everyone who does not share clothes with those in need, give food to those who are hungry, or handle money honestly and responsibly, runs the risk of being cut down by Jesus, the one who is not only our Savior, but our judge. Jesus wants us, each of us, to be a part of his transforming of this world. The prophet Isaiah paints a very similar picture, beginning with the image of a cut down tree. He says, "A shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." The shoot growing out of this cut down tree is Jesus Christ, who did grow out of the stump of Israel about 700 years after Isaiah prophesied. And so the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, not just by angry John, the voice of one crying out of the wilderness, but by Jesus, the shoot from the stump of Jesse. "With righteousness he will judge the poor," says Isaiah to the people of Israel and to us. "And with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins." Jesus is arriving to bring justice to the poor and destroy the wicked. In this prophecy, he's coming to save, but also to judge. In the words of John the Baptist, he will gather his wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. When Jesus Christ came to earth 2 millennia ago, he did not only come to do and say nice things. He did not invite people to be a Happy Science cult, but instead he called disciples to prepare for the kingdom. Jesus challenged them to prepare by repentance, by reorientation, by complete change of mind and heart. To those who repented, whose sorry was backed by sincerity and a willingness to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, he promised, and still promises today, forgiveness of sins, victory over death, and life in God's eternal kingdom. So what might it mean for us to prepare for this kingdom? I was challenged the other day in an article by a pastor who said, take a minute to calculate how much you'll spend for Christmas gifts in the next 3 weeks. What do you think? 200? 400? 1,000? The average church in the United States has 186 attenders in worship on a Sunday morning. We're not too far away from that. That means the average congregation will spend between $37,200 and $186,000. That's a lot of money going towards Christmas gifts. Probably a good bit more than we're given this season to persons in need of food and shelter and clothing. Perhaps if we're listening to the call to bear fruit worthy of repentance, we might change our hearts and give as much to the needy as to ourselves. I think it's interesting that the cult I mentioned at the beginning is called Happy Science. We all want true happiness, don't we? But the way to true happiness isn't through cult leaders. It is through Christ, who showed us the way to true happiness. And how would that come? For him, it was through suffering and through death on a cross. That brought Christ great joy, because through those means he was bringing the salvation to the world. We can experience true happiness when we die to ourselves and live for Christ and for others. Listen to the prophet Isaiah, who prophesies true happiness in the kingdom of God. And obviously, symbolic language. The wolf will lay down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid. Isn't that a beautiful image? Almost impossible to think that it could happen in this world, but not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of Christ, there will be true happiness. Because of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, the righteous anger of God has been replaced by unending righteousness and peace. So we prepare for this place every time we truly repent and change our hearts to serve others. And how is this accomplished when we all know that we're sinful? In thought, word, and deed, that we, as Luther would say, sin daily and sin much. Well, God has provided that for us in that he gives us gifts. In your baptism, you received the Holy Spirit as a gift. Every Sunday, you hear the Word of God that encourages you in the life of Christ. That is his gift to you. This Sunday, you celebrate the sacrament of the altar, where God imparts his life in a very visible way, so that we taste and see that the Lord is good. This is not our work. It is God's work. God working in you and in me. Thanks be to God that as we put simple childlike trust in him, he will accomplish it. We put our faith there, and we'll find true happiness. In Jesus' name, amen.